Meanwhile, in Texas, Professor Carl Gephardt is struggling with that other darkness, dark energy. How long have we been talking about this thing called dark energy?
Well, if you want to go back to Einstein's time, he had an idea of the expansion of the universe, which he came up with this name called the cosmological constant. That, I would say, is the first instance of this idea of dark energy. But in terms of observational constraints, it was in 1998 that they had a big discovery of the expansion of the universe.
And finding it was going much faster than they thought.
Yes, we knew it was expanding. What the amazing thing was when they measured it, when they tried to measure that expansion rate, it was expanding three times faster than what they had predicted. And so they said, uh-oh, this is the problem. So let's make a name up.
And then Brian Schmidt and his friends went and solved the problem to some extent, working out that it was real.
Well, it was their discovery that actually set everything in motion. We had hints probably 5 years before Brian Schmidt's and company's discovery, and they really nailed it. It was obvious, and that's why they got a Nobel Prize. Now there are many, many teams trying to build on what they had discovered and to really nail down precisely how fast we are expanding.
So it's not simply people in offices like yours doing calculations. It's also people doing measurements and looking at the real universe.
Exactly. So this is what I love. This is now in the observational game. The theorists have failed us in terms of trying to understand what is going on here. They missed their prediction. When they came out, they tried to understand what's going on, and we still don't have a solid model. And so I think where we are now is there are so many models that can fit the current observations that nothing is being limited. So right now, we're going to push towards trying to make the observations as tight as possible. And so that's the avenue that I have been pursuing. We have a large experiment trying to really nail down what that expansion rate is.
What are you looking at?
We're looking at galaxies. The experiment's called the Hobby-Eberle Telescope, a dark energy experiment, HETEX. And we are going to make a map of the universe. We'll measure about a few million galaxies. And from how those galaxies are distributed, we can get a measure for how much the universe expanded.
How long will that take you?
It should take us 4 years. We are getting data now. We've been building this experiment for at least 10 years now, so it's a decade old. I came up with the idea about 15 years ago, and then it's a $42 million experiment. Our data is coming in, and the data is looking fantastic. So from what we can tell, it's going to take another 4 years of observations. We should know within the first year of observing whether there is something interesting compared to the expected models for how the universe is expanding.
And what's the idea it's trying to confirm?
We are going to look at a time in the universe that no one has looked at in detail yet. Right now, let me explain that. Dark energy has been studied with galaxies that are about 3 or 4 billion years ago. We are going to look at galaxies about 10 billion light years away. And from this comparison between the objects that are very far away to the objects that are very nearby, it's the differential that will give you a leverage for what dark energy may be. And so the idea here is to determine the observations and to understand what the universe is doing, and then we can tie that back into models.
You must have a picture somehow, however, right, of what it might be behind it all.
What I think it is we don't understand how gravity works. And I've said this from the start. Dark energy is a phrase, right? And it may not be dark and it may not be energy. Whatever the explanation is, it is just a phrase that we apply to the ignorance for how the universe is expanding. And what I suspect is going on is that we are looking at how mass is affecting each other on very large scales that we've never probed before. And so if we don't have the appropriate model of gravity, then we're going to mess up those scales. And so we'll get how our universe expands incorrectly. Now, it's not so easy as that, you know, we have tried to modify a gravity a few times over the history of humanity, and we have. Einstein modified it once, and we know that Einstein's not the ultimate answer as well, his equations. So modifying it is possible, but there's so much constraints now that it will have to be a modification that I think no one has really thought of yet.
You're in a wonderfully advantaged situation, however. You are at a university that's got Steven Weinberg, who helped develop the standard model of physics 50 years ago. When you ask him about it, he says, there is gravity. We have to put that aside as if it's a different kind of animal. Yeah. However, you've also got last year the discovery, clear discovery of gravitational waves. So you've got things being confirmed and you've got more experiments going up, more LIGO, more LISA looking at gravitational waves. Is there more chance now that you'll know in 2 or 3 years' time what gravity really is made of and why it's behaving in this particular way?
Okay, that's a hard question. That is in the top few most important discoveries in the history of humans. I'll go to bat with anyone on that one. You know, Solistum, and that is like fantastically important. No question about it. We will get a significantly better understanding of how gravity interacts at very high densities. So when two black holes merge, when two neutron stars merge, we will map out what the gravitational field is around these two massive bodies. That's for sure. And so we may understand a lot of the details of gravities on the very small scales. That has zero implications. Well, I can't quite say zero, but so whether or not that has any implication for the very large scales, which is what we're trying to study here, it's unlikely, but we don't know yet. So that's a small scale thing. Fantastic. I love it. The large scale, I think that is squarely in the astronomical regime. So if you want to get where a gravity interacts on the weakest scales, you want to go to the largest separations possible. That's astronomy. You look at galaxies on, you know, at the edges of the universe and see how they are moving in relationship to each other.
Carl Gebhard, Professor of Astrophysics at the University of Texas. And for more boggling star stuff, do look up the new season of Cosmic Vertigo with Amanda Bauer and Alan Duffy. Now they're online.